You know, I'm a little embarrassed to say that it wasn't until about 5 or 6 years ago that I even knew what Juneteenth was. And friends, I think as people who call ourselves Christians, that's a shame. That's an absolute shame. So I long to learn. I long to grow. And I'm just making my own confession this morning. And I hope we all do. If you don't know what that date is, it alluded to it at the end of the video. That's more than 2 years past the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. More than 2 years before those in Texas got the news that they were free. And I would argue, friends, we still got a lot of work to do. Amen? Would you pray with me and for me this morning? Gracious God, I pray that in some way the words that come out of my mouth might be honoring and pleasing to you. God, that you would give us ears to hear what you want us to hear. Not ears to hear what we want to hear. God, that our minds might be open to understanding, that our hearts might even be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, and do what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. It was in 2020. It was in February of 2020. I remember it because we were going on this trip with a team from my church to Honduras, and people said, why in the world would you be going on a plane right now? There's this thing called the coronavirus out there. And I was like, it's not gonna be a thing, right? It's not gonna be real. So we go to Honduras, and we did this really powerful work working with young women in a country that didn't value young women and didn't allow their gifts to be used to help them grow and to help their country grow. But we had done all this work with these young women at the Leadership Center, and I got on the plane on the way back and I said, you know, I wanna watch movies that have female lead roles where women are empowered. And there were two movies that day that were on the plane that were women. One was Harriet, which is the story of Harriet Tubman, and the other was Judy, which is the story of Judy Garland. And I watched both of them, and one of them I would recommend and the other I wouldn't. The one I would recommend is the one I'm gonna talk about today. But their lives are starkly different, right? Both of them really powerful people, but both of them using their power in very different ways. Actually, next week, we're gonna talk about The Wizard of Oz. So we're gonna do a little bit of that as we end this series, Summer on the Movie. But the life of Harriet Tubman, the story of Harriet Tubman is a powerful, powerful story. And I think the movie actually does a really good job of capturing it. If you haven't seen it, I wanna encourage you to watch it. This is our next to last week in this series, and it's been a great series. Hasn't the music team just done a ridiculous job? Our worship team has done an incredible job bringing the music out of these movies. And you may say, why in the world? This is your first Sunday. Why in the world does this church talk about movies? Why do we do this? Well, I've said it each week, but I think it's an important thing to remind us. Our goal is not that our faith be a Sunday morning thing, but we want to help you engage your faith throughout the week through every medium that you have the capacity to engage it in. And I think movies is one of those places, right? When we watch a movie, we can sit and we can think about what is the integration between our faith and this thing. Maybe it happens with a movie. Maybe it happens with a song. Maybe it happens with a podcast. Maybe it happens with an interaction. Maybe it happens when you're singing in the shower in the morning. Whatever the thing is, we want to give you tools to do that work, to engage the movies, to engage life, to look at those intersections. Now, most of you likely know more about the life of Harriet Tubman than I did. Harriet Tubman was born to enslaved parents who lived on two different plantations. They were owned by two different people, so she didn't get to grow up and be engaged with both of her parents. Minty, as she is called in her childhood, had two older brothers and sisters, had older brothers and sisters. One of her earliest and most formative memories that happened was hearing the cries of her sisters as they were taken away from her home and from her family to serve on the chain gang. Young Minty never forgot that moment. Years later, it was those cries that rang in her head, that she heard in her heart, that pushed her to go over more than 100 miles to find freedom in Pennsylvania. Before that, she changed her name to Harriet Tubman. Her mother's name was Harriet. Her married name was Tubman. Tubman was the name that she wanted to carry with her and use as part of her story of freedom. I didn't know that that's where her name came from. In fact, when the movie starts and it's focused on this character, Menti, I didn't know who that was. I didn't know that she had changed her name and that was part of her story. The movie Harriet chronicles her life, particularly after claiming her own freedom. Now, here's the cool thing about this movie. It will keep you on the edge of your seat for the entire thing. She persevered from a really young age. She had to in order to live through the enslavement, in order to survive it. But what's particularly remarkable about her was that she chose to return after getting to her own freedom over 15 times to lead other people who were enslaved to freedom. Why in the world would she do that? More importantly, how in the world did she do that? Whenever she led a group of enslaved people to freedom, she placed herself in great danger. There was this bounty that was placed on her head because not only was she moving people, she had left and she was crossing state lines and she was doing things that they considered illegal. Every step that she took, every movement that she made, she was remembering what it was like to be enslaved on those plantations. Every enslaved person she gathered up reminded her of her own fear and her own pain in her life, yet she kept going back. What allowed her to persevere? I remember when I was watching the movie, I was sitting there, as I said, on the edge of my seat on the plane going, what's going to happen? What's the next story? And I thought, if she just freed two people, wouldn't that be powerful? Wouldn't that be a big deal? But she kept going back and freed person after person after person. And I have to tell you, even though I intellectually understood why she would do that, as a person sitting on a plane watching this movie, I thought, why doesn't she just stay in freedom? Why doesn't she just allow herself to be free and not put herself at risk again and again and again? So I did some research to find out about her story. Harriet was taught about Jesus from a very young age. And it was sort of accidental. See, what happened was in these plantations, the plantation owners would have worship services and they taught the people about Jesus because they thought what that would mean was obedience. Maybe they'll learn about obedience from Jesus because Jesus is hard, right? Jesus is tough. And they would learn they have to stay here. What would happen though was they would go and they would have their own worship services at night and they would learn about the freedom of Jesus. They would learn the message that Jesus gives, that it's not about captivity, that it's about freedom, that we're called to go and to live. Jesus gave people who were enslaved the understanding that prayer was something that was always available. They would use it during the hot days in the field. They would use it when a loved one was taken from them. They would use it when they were being abused. They would pray over and over again. And friends, they believed it would actually do something. Is that not powerful? They believed it would actually transform something. So a passage they would have learned, a passage that they would have studied in these times of evening worship would have come from Galatians chapter 6. And I want to look at that today. It says, those who are taught the word should share all good things with their teachers. Make no mistake, God is not mocked. A person will harvest what they plant. Those who plant only for their own benefit will harvest devastation from their selfishness. But those who plant for the benefit of the Spirit will harvest eternal life from the Spirit. Let's not get tired of doing good, because in time we'll have a harvest if we don't give up. So then let's work for the good of all whenever we have an opportunity, and especially for those in the household of faith. Friends, the commonality between Harriet and the people in the early church was it wasn't just that freedom was a nice idea. It wasn't that, wouldn't that be cool to just be free? It was a necessity. Freedom had to happen. It was the flame that burned inside of each of them. It was something that pushed them to persevere every single day. It was a gift that God had given them that was worth pursuing. And it's actually the message that Paul gives over and over again throughout the letters that he writes. Freedom is important. But what Paul knew was freedom wasn't something that we generate ourselves, not something we achieve by our own maneuvering. Freedom was a gift from God that liberates us to be who God created us to be. And isn't that the calling? Isn't that the thing for each of us, to live to be the people that God creates us to be? Paul writes to the Galatians, those who plant only for their own benefit will harvest devastation from their selfishness, but those who plant for the benefit of the Spirit will harvest eternal life from the Spirit. And he says, let's not get tired of doing good because in time we'll have a harvest if we don't give up. There are things that we can learn from this movie. There are things that we learn from this passage today that I think are really important for us as we think about our own life. The first one is this: freedom is possible. Friends, we persevere because freedom is possible. But it's not always a welcomed experience in our own lives. Do you know that? We actually talk about freedom, but we don't always want freedom. Because friends, we often have a desire to have freedom from things like addictions or people who mistreat us that aren't good for us. And that's often unsettling, right? If we have this addiction or this thing that we're holding on to and we say we want freedom from it, to get freedom from it, sometimes that takes surrender. Sometimes that takes a little bit of work. Sometimes that takes belief that we can actually be free from it. Harriet Tubman's husband refused to escape to freedom because he was fearful for himself and for his wife. Perseverance, which we see in the movie over and over again, is that key to strive for that freedom. I wonder where you might be when it comes to this concept. Are you in a place where freedom from your anxiety or addiction or unhealthy relationships seems too much? I want you to think about that as we continue through this today. For this next phrase, I want to take us back to chapter 5, actually, in Galatians. Because there's something that he says there. Because for Paul, spiritual freedom is of utmost importance. He says, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness through spirit by faith. For the early church, the game changer to perseverance was hope. Hope changed everything. They believed. See, you got to remember, or you got to know, the early church thought that Jesus was going to come back. Jesus hadn't come back yet, and they were following this guy that was no longer here, and people were persecuting them all over the place. And they fought that like crazy. And what Paul said to them was, you have to have freedom from your fear, freedom from the things that are keeping you from living into who God has called you to be. Friends, people who were enslaved found hope in Christ when they were introduced to Jesus by their enslavers. Isn't that just like God? Isn't that just like God to take something that we as humans pervert and make so bad and make it so good? Isn't that just like God to say, all right, I see what they're doing, and I'm going to free you? Isn't that just like God to use evil intentions for good? God is the redeemer of all bad things. God has the ability, even when we as humans make things the worst they can possibly be, to bring redemption. You may be sitting in your own situation right now and say, how in the world could I focus on persevering? I'm just trying to focus on A, B, C, you name it. And what God is saying to you this morning is, I will walk with you. Have hope because I will persevere with you. I will journey with you. That's the message that we get. Friends, you know, I said I watched this movie right before COVID. Do you know how many people I talked to during COVID who said, will this ever be gone? Will it ever go away? Can we ever move past it? Will we as the church ever be able to worship together again? Look around, friends. Will we ever be beyond it? And it's the hope that comes in Jesus Christ that pushes us through realities like that. Some time ago, I watched the movie The Hunger Games again. Since we're in movies, I'll talk about a movie. My kids had read the books, and we watched the movie again. If you haven't seen this movie, it's a crazy movie about this dystopian society where these people live in different districts, and there's this guy that controls them, President Snow. And he tries to keep them down by annually having this thing called The Hunger Games. Right, where he pulls two young people together and they have to come and they fight and the one who wins gets to hold the victory. And it's really a terrible movie, y'all. It's a terrible movie to watch with my children, actually. It's a morning of confession. Sorry, guys. But in one scene, President Snow asked the chief games maker, a man named Seneca Crane, Seneca, why do you think we have a winner for the Hunger Games? And Seneca frowns and asks, what do you mean? I mean, says Snow, why do we have a winner? I mean, if we just wanted to intimidate the districts, why not round up 24 at random and execute them all at once? It'd be a lot faster. Seneca Crane stared at him, obviously confused. Hope, muses Snow. Crane, still confused, asks, hope? Snow continues, hope, it is the only thing stronger than fear. A little hope is effective, a lot of hope is dangerous. Spark is fine as long as it's contained. Friends, a lot of hope is dangerous. Hope comes from Christ. That's the message for the early church. It's the message for us today. In the reality of whatever we're walking through, whatever thing is binding us, whatever thing is keeping us from freedom, it is hope. Harriet Tubman had a lot of hope. It was that hope that led her to continue persevering. It's that hope that led so many people to freedom. And my question for you today is, where is God calling you to place your hope? What's your thing? What's your thing that's holding you back? What's your thing that's saying, I can't do that? What's the calling that God has on you to persevere? Look, maybe you're a parent and you say, I just got to get through this week. Right? Maybe you're looking for a new job and God is calling you to persevere through that. Maybe your marriage is struggling and you need to persevere through that. Maybe you have an addiction that's holding you back and harming you and you need to persevere through that. Maybe, I don't know what it is. But I can tell you, God doesn't want you to place your hope in the news. God doesn't want you to place your hope in the government. God doesn't want you to place your hope even in your friend's social media place. God wants you to place your hope in Christ. And actually, that's what persevered Harriet and so many others through all of it. Friends, over the last few years, I have come to deeply believe that we can do really brave things. I have watched people do really hard things in a season of people's lives that's really tough. I have watched people teach their kids about injustice, and I have watched people stand up. I have watched people apply for jobs and get rejection after rejection after rejection. I have watched people peacefully protest racism. I have watched people struggle and struggle and struggle and keep going. We can do brave things. Living in the midst of this world can be tough. Living in the midst of whatever our challenges are can be tough. And we're just figuring it out step by step. But you can be brave. You can take those steps. You can step out. When you do it, understanding that your hope comes in Christ that goes with you. Look at what happens in people's lives when they continue to persevere. A young man was 7 years old. His family was forced out of their home on a legal technicality, and he had to work to support them. At age 9, his mother died. At 22, he lost his job as a store clerk. He wanted to go to law school, but his education wasn't good enough, so he couldn't. At 23, he went into debt to become a partner in a small store, and at 26, his business partner died, and he lost everything. At 28, after dating a girl for 4 years, he asked her to marry him, and she said no. At 37, on his third try, he was elected to Congress, but 2 years later, he failed to be reelected. At 41, his 4-year-old son died. At 45, he ran for the Senate and lost. At 47, he failed as the vice presidential candidate. And at 49, he ran for the Senate again and lost. At 51, he was elected president of the United States. His name is Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, who many consider to be one of the greatest leaders our country's ever had, who we could argue why he signed the Emancipation Proclamation, but he did it, and he made it happen. Friends, momentum happens when we keep going. When we stop, nothing happens. Can you imagine if Harriet, there's a scene in the movie where she's on a bridge, and there are these people who are coming at her from both angles, and she ends up jumping off the bridge to safety. Can you imagine if she just sat there and gave up right then? Can you imagine how different the world might have been without Harriet Tubman responding to the push that God gave her? Change happens when we have enough hope to persevere. Church is the church when we have hope. You heard that line he said, a lot of hope is dangerous. Think about how dangerous we can be as the church. What if we do it? What if we really believe the stuff we talk about, the stuff that we sing about? What if we really live into it? I think the thing that drew me so much to the Harriet movie, that makes me think about it over and over again, was her perseverance. There was danger in that, but she kept going. It's why I liked it so much more than the Judy movie. The Harriet movie starts with a situation that seems impossible. And she says, my God is bigger than impossibility. I can do more than that. It's hope and faith that changes everything for her. Multiple people told her to give up, but she kept persevering. She kept working. The perseverance came from Christ. Friends, I don't know what your story is. I'm gonna invite the worship team. They're gonna come up. And I don't know what your story is. I don't know what your thing is. I don't know what you're gonna persevere in. I don't know what you're called to do. There's a song in the movie, and it's a song that really gives you a lot of the picture of her life. The song is called Stand Up. And it's a powerful, powerful thing. And the team is gonna lead that right now. And I want this to be a time of reflection for you. It's gonna be hard not to stand up, right? But I want you to use this as a time of reflection. What is God calling you to persevere through? Where is God calling you to place your hope? And if you're like, look, I don't even know about this Jesus guy, just hold on and let God do what God does.
Mia. Feel the night, that's when I'm gonna stand up, take my people with me. Together we are going to a brand new home, far across the river. Can you hear freedom calling, calling me to answer? Gonna keep on keeping on, I can feel it in. Salvation, and I'll fight with the strength that I got until I die. So I'm gonna stand up, take my people with me. Together we are growing to a brand new home, far across the river. Can you hear freedom calling, calling me to end? They're gonna keep on keeping on. And I know what's around the bend might be hard to face, cause I'm alone and I just might fail, but Lord knows I try. Together we are going to a brand new home, far across the river. Can you hear freedom calling, calling me to answer? Gonna keep on keeping on. I'm gonna stand up, take my people with me. Together we are going to a brand new home. I go.